You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. Yes. Every one of us has a story. Things that are happening in our life, whether it's in the past, you've had things that you've walked through, journeyed through, or things currently in the present that you're currently in this moment walking through. And at the same time that we're going through circumstances of life, we have a God who loves us, who is faithful and ever present in the midst of those things. And so this morning, what we're going to do is have a few moments for us to just give thanks back to the Lord for different ways that He's been working, whether it's in certain ministries here at the church or whether it's in some individual lives of people here within our church family. And so over the next few minutes, we're going to have some time to reflect and to thank the Lord. And then also we're going to have a video from the Johnsons as well, our missionaries in Indonesia. And we get to hear just a brief word of thanksgiving from them as well. But I would like to ask David and Diane Cleland to come on up and to get us started.
Good morning, church family. So, some of you may know us, some may not. We've been coming to Hope Valley for about 2 years. And last spring, it was very much put on my heart that for the youth, I just kept seeing family and friends of kids who graduated high school and then went off to college and were leaving the faith. And these were families that I knew and loved that were going to church actively, and I knew that their families were involved. But once they were in college, when their professors, who they trusted, started saying, "That Bible, that's not true. That's a fairy tale." And when their peers started attacking them, saying, "You guys are childish. How can you possibly believe that? The translations are always changing. It's unreliable. It can't be proved." And yes, the Bible may have had rules and laws for that time, but that time has passed. And so we kept seeing people fall away, and I kept praying, like, "Lord, you keep bringing it to my heart. Like, what is it you want us to do?" And we talked, and we kept praying, and there was kind of this list of, like, well, maybe if we did kind of a framework for understanding the Bible, if we could back up the truths and show how the Bible was formed and show how all along the Old Testament connects to the New Testament and how you have all of the prophecies that perfectly point to Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection. I thought, maybe we could do something like that. But how? We weren't involved in youth at all. And so we went to Pastor Kevin thinking, maybe we could do a Bible study just on the side. And Pastor Kevin said, "Well, do you want to teach youth for the summer?" And we weren't quite expecting that. So we said, okay, regrouping, not this little small thing, but sure. So with the help of the Lord, we got through the summer, and we saw so much fruit, and we were blessed in so many ways, and just love the kids that we are teaching, and just saw them growing in their faith, and saw our own kids growing. And summer ended, we reconvened and met with Kevin, and he said, "Do you want to continue?" We said, "Sure, why not? We'll go till December." And my daughter Abby said, "Mom, have you prayed about what if God's calling you to keep going?" And I'm like, "No, I don't think so." And I took that advice, and I prayed, and I was like, "Lord, if that is your will, please open the door and continue to provide the way and the lesson." And it's His word. It's all His doing. It's not us and our teaching. And sure enough, we are continuing in the ministry. And we are loving it. And we're, like I said, we're seeing so much growth. And I just want to share in our own family some of the things that we have seen. My family, we grew up in a very legalistic house. And many of my brothers have gone away from the church, including one who is a self-proclaimed atheist, as well as his wife and his son. And you know how it is with family. Like, they're the hardest ones to talk to, right? It's the hardest to share the gospel because they're not willing. They're not afraid to hold back. So they're attacking, like, you're an idiot. How can you believe this? This is a fairy tale. And God has just worked through the kids, through their equipping and the Holy Spirit just moving, and the kids putting on the armor of God. And one night, as we were staying at my brother's house, I heard my youngest upstairs sharing Bible with his cousin, who's just a year older. And he was sitting there reading with him. And at first he said he was just reading himself. And then the cousin the next night was like, why don't you read to me? And then the next night wanted to hear more and more. And I just see seeds being planted. And that encouraged my heart, where seeing my son being willing to step out, then I just prayed, like, Holy Spirit, if it is your will, let me have this conversation with my brother, who I know attacks. And I prayed, and it was 2 a.m. after a night of worrying what he might say. And God just opened a door that I was able to share in a way that, ask me after service, it's a long story, but it was just incredible. And I shared it with the youth, and now they keep asking every time I go to Ohio, do you have any more stories? We've been praying for you. Please tell us more of what's happening. And so that is just encouraging to keep pushing through. And God has just been so good through it all. And we have been so blessed to be able to be a part of this ministry.
So those of you who know me know that I am way more comfortable behind the scenes than standing up here. Give me a music system to set up. Give me a kitchen to work in. I'm happy. And Diane shares what's on her heart, and it starts building in me. So I say, yeah, sure. Do you need me to set up the sound system? She said, no, you gotta be up here with me. I said, okay, fine. I know I'm an oddball. I know that my kids cringe when they hear me use words like chungus or so fly, fleek, right? I was afraid I wasn't going to connect with the youth, that I was going to go through the same thing I did through high school, where I became an outcast, somebody that they just came to and listened for 30 minutes so they could have a meal, see their friends, and head out the door, check off the list. Yep, I went to youth. And as we got there and we started investing in their lives and learning their names, their interests, their worries, they started pouring back into my life. And the fact that they've accepted me, right? I'm not one of the kids, but I'm part of the group. And there's ribbing and jokes and looking forward to every Sunday. What are we going to learn from each other? To hear the maturity that is developing in them, where it's not selfish prayer request of, you know, I hope that I get a good grade, or, you know, I'm having trouble with a friend because we're fighting because they, you know, whatever. There are deep-seated desires in these kids to share the word, to share the gospel. There are stories that they've shared of small groups that they're involved in outside of this church where lives are being changed. We've reached a point where kids who have invited kids are now also inviting kids. We are three levels deep of people reaching outside of this church and bringing them in. And those kids are excited, and they're coming in and they're sharing stories. And they're saying, I asked my friend Nathan to come because he was a neighbor and he didn't have anything to do. Great, bring him in. And that is where we are today, that we have a community that's built, that's solid, and they are ready to go out. Several of them have gone on missions trips already, but the day-to-day, the week-to-week, the touches that they have with people, that they can bring them into this church, that's where we really want to focus this year. We have a very core group of volunteers that are coming to youth every Sunday, far exceeding the age limit, right? Jeff and Susan, Cherish and Logan, Aaron and Mark, Cameron and Luke, Ben when he's in town, right? They come together and they love on these kids. And in that moment, in volunteering together, we are fed. We get so much just being together. And now that's what we want to pass on to the kids. So in this coming years, we find opportunities to serve as a group outside of these four walls. I expect to see more growth, more opportunity, more chances for God to show up in miraculous ways. I don't know when it's going to end. I thought this was a summer gig. Now I'm not so sure. But I know that God's plan far exceeds anything that I could dream of. So I just get to hold on and enjoy the ride.
Good morning, Hope Valley Church. It's so good to see you all. I'm Rodrigo. I'm married to Carol. We have two boys, Benjamin and Benicio. And we work in Portuguese language ministry here in Hope Valley Church. We are so blessed to be a part of the church family. We feel at home here. You know, we miss our family, we miss our country, our culture, but living here, sharing life with you all, work with Pastor Jared Vaya, Pastor Kevin, Pastor Heath, and all entire church has been such a blessing for my family. It's so good to see my boys growing in their faith here. I've seen brothers and sisters who truly love Jesus. And as a missionary, we feel carried by our church. We feel connect with all of you. So it's so good to be a lead of a Portuguese ministry. As an immigrant, we feel welcome here at Hope Valley. You know, you are so kind with us. Even sometimes I try to speak good English, but sometimes it's hard. Sometimes the like some words that you say correctly, I can't. Like my tongue can't do it. But we feel connected by love with all you. So the Bible says the love of Jesus in us, through us, shows the word that we are one with God. And I can see this here in Hope Valley Church. So 3 years ago, we arrived here, and I have no idea what God would do. And we just had a heart to reeling to obey. And we start to share the gospel with the Portuguese speakers. We share the love to them. And by God's grace, in these years, we are able to have our weekly small group in Portuguese, also our service in Portuguese. And we are so grateful for this.
Hi. So sharing the gospel with our people from Brazil. Brazilians are Portuguese speakers. We have some people from other countries that come joining us. It's been like such encouragement to keep living here. Sometimes we miss a lot our country. I don't know if you had this idea in your heart, missing so much one place that you can like feel at home. And as he said, we felt this a church, and we also believe that in this ministry that God gave us is an opportunity to prepare people and send them out. We have several families that are went back to Brazil or moved to another state or city around here in the U.S., and we believe that they are going as missionaries. So we are planting seeds here, and they are leaving or going to other place. But we also have some. I want to share one testimony about one of the kids. I've been in charge of the kids ministry in our Portuguese small group in the services, and we have many helpers here, Isla, Sharon, and some others that are helping, Susan and Anna, Sofia, that are helping us with the kids ministry, because we can't do it by ourselves. We are small, and our church is blessing us even with the songs. But anyways, this we have one of the kids that went back to Brazil, I believe it was in July, but it was this year, and he went there, and his mother was just saying, like, he was sharing, like, what they learned. We were teaching them about the fruit of the Spirit, and he was there in his house in Brazil sharing with his cousins and his family, his grandparents, the song that we learned and the meaning of each fruit, so each part of the fruit. So it was so encouraged for me to see that, like, a simple thing, we think like, oh, I'm teaching the kids, but are they really learning? Are they really sucking all the information in? And they are. So I'm glad that we are able to do it in our language, and they are going to wherever God send them to keep sharing. So thank you for your support and prayers and your care for our ministry.
Also, I'm so grateful for our Brazilian friends. Just shake your hands, Brazilian friends. So language and culture just are bridge to reach people. We are one church, one body, and I praise God for that. So let's watch the video. Our Portuguese, how Valley, whatever.
Oh, your mercy never fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You will lead me through the fire, and in darkest night you were close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God.
My name is Mitch Perry. Many of you probably don't know me. We usually attend the first service with my wife, Stephanie, and my four kids. And we've been here since the beginning of summer. We've been attending the Frank and Desi Sowers Hope Community for a little over a year now, just at a year, we discovered. And we count it a blessing to be here. We feel the Lord here. And thank you all are a part of that, obviously. You are part of that spirit, and so thank you for being here today. I'm not on staff here. I'm not in a ministry regularly, but I did serve on staff at a church for 16 years here in the area, and I thought I would die there. I truly thought when I started there, this is where I was going to be for the rest of my life, and never really thought about moving or leaving, but the Lord moved in our lives and changed some things up that I never thought would happen. And I learned that a verse that I've learned since I was young, Romans 8:28 says, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Thought I knew that verse, had it memorized. One of the things I did in Sunday school when I was a teenager, and thought I knew that. And as I got older, I realized that the verse says that all things work together for good. It didn't say that everything is good. And so being kind of unexpectedly moved out of a ministry of 16 years, and then June 21st this year, our house burned. We lost everything. We were able to save a few mementos, clothing. We washed rigorously and got it clean. And the Ayersmans have been so kind to let us have a place to stay since we've been displaced. And it's been a blessing. As crazy as that may sound, I feel like some people feel more sorry for us than we do at this point, because we've been able to see God work in our lives through the fire, bringing our family closer together, bringing us closer to the Lord, and maybe arrogantly thinking, somebody asked me, "You trust the Lord?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, of course I trust the Lord." I would say that easily, without hesitation. But in the dark times, when I'm staring at my ceiling, or staring at the ceiling of a hotel room after our house just burned, and wondering, "Lord, you could have just told me what you wanted me to do. I wouldn't have minded that. Send me a text, you know, give me a beeper. I don't care. Whatever technology you want to use, just tell me and show me, and it would have been so much better." But it wouldn't have been. I wouldn't have learned. I would have gotten the message. Maybe I would have obeyed it. But I wouldn't have gotten the lessons that God showed me and my family over the last year and a half of our lives that we've been through stuff. And so I thank you for praying. If you've ever ushered our name, didn't even know who we were, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I want to leave you with two things. And one is a quote I can't believe I never heard until this year. And since I've said it publicly multiple times now, everyone says, "I love that quote. I love that quote." It's by Charles Spurgeon. It's much longer, but the part I just want to remember is, "When you can't trace his hand, trust his heart." And that slapped me in the face so hard when I first read that, that, "Lord, I have no idea what you're doing. I don't get it. I would have done it so much differently, but I know you love me." And so that brings me to the last thing. God is good. God does good. So this must be good. That's all I can say, is that I have to trust his heart, that even when I look around and see that a diagnosis didn't come through the way I wanted to, a life choice didn't work out the way I thought it was going to, someone in my life turned on me that I thought was a lifelong friend, all through those things that we count as bad, is God working in our lives. And I'm thankful for that. People say that God never puts on you more than you can handle. I don't agree with that. Because why would we need God? If I could handle everything that came my way, hey, thanks, man. Appreciate it. I wouldn't need him. I would never turn to him. And he's turned me and my family to him many times this year and brought us closer than I ever thought we could. And I'm very thankful for that.
Good morning, Hope Valley family. I guess I ought to pick this up. Thank you. Good morning, Hope Valley family. You are family to me and my husband, and for 4 years now, we have loved you, and we have felt so loved by you. And all of you have so much you can be thankful for, and you could all stand up here and say the same thing. And I am so thankful for many things. I'm thankful for a husband of almost 50 years. Next year will be our 50th wedding anniversary. I'm so thankful for my children, my adult children, and my sweet daughter-in-laws and my son-in-law that God has given us. And my many, many grandchildren, which I love with all my heart. And our ministry that the Lord entrusted us many years ago. I am very thankful that he could entrust us with such a big job. And most of all, I'm just thankful for the souls that have come to know Jesus through that ministry. And I am very grateful and give him praise and glory for it. Many years ago, I put to memory a verse. Actually, it was while Rick and I were dating, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." But this year, I've really had to put that verse into practice in my life. In December the 15th, I begin a lifelong journey. It's going to be a lifelong journey for me. And we all go through journeys. We have days that are good, and we praise Him for those. We have days that are difficult, and we need to praise Him for that. And then we have days full of uncertainty. And a lot of my days have been uncertain this year. But I have not walked this journey of hopelessness. It's been a journey of hope, because I know that I've had to depend on Jesus and lean heavily on Him, talk to Him on a daily basis, because I knew I couldn't do any of this without Him. On December 15th of last year, I got a phone call from my doctor, and the news was not what we wanted to hear. But he told me that two vital organs in my body were in extreme danger, that I had a lung disease, and that I had cirrhosis of the liver. And I didn't hear much else on that conversation, because I just couldn't even comprehend what he had just said. But I do remember him saying, "Mrs. Vi, you're going to have to make some lifelong changes if you hope to this to come out in the right way," or however he said it. I just didn't even hardly hear it. But I remember hanging up that phone. I was in my bedroom at the time, and I just remember dropping to the floor of that room and crying out to Jesus and saying, "Jesus, I cannot do this alone. That I just can't. You're just going to have to help me through this. And I know it's going to be a long journey. It's going to be hard. But I trust you." And in that quiet moment, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, as only He can do, gently told me that I had for many decades not made it a priority of taking care of my body, God's temple. And I knew my body, as a child of God, my body is the temple of God. And one of my responsibilities as a child of God is to take care of my temple, and I had not. And I remember just crying out to Him and asking Him to forgive me, because I had not been faithful in that area of my life. And as only Jesus can do, I felt His forgiveness. I felt His arms around me saying, "I'm going to be with you through this. It's going to be okay." And so I begin to learn how to eat. I begin to become a student of diets, you know, what's good for me and what's bad for me. And I'm still learning every day how to eat from God's abundance of the ground that God gave us from the foundations of the earth when He created it all for us to enjoy. And I'm still learning how to do that. And then I just basically got up and said, and started moving. My daughter is a CrossFit instructor, and she became my personal trainer. And so you fast forward a whole year, almost a year. I don't know if I told you, December 15th of this past year. So it's almost been a year. You fast forward that, and my doctors are now telling me that I have been able to pause the button on the deterioration of my liver. And I thank Him for it. I praise Him for it. And I'm not by any means out of the woods, but I'm okay, because I know I'm doing all I can do to make myself healthier. And the rest is just up to Jesus. And I totally trust Him. The doctors told me that apart from a divine intervention and your hard work, your daughter has helped to save your life.
And I will be eternally grateful to her for the time she has invested in me this year. And all my children that call me and pray for me and send me texts and send me emails saying that they are praying for me. Mom, you can do this. My grandchildren who say, you know, they text me now, you know, that's really weird. Me, my grandkids are texting me and saying, Mimi, you got this. We know you can do this. We believe in you. And I can't tell you how wonderful it is to have that kind of support. And those of you who have followed this year with me, some of you know my journey. I thank you so much for your love and your prayers and your emails and your cards that you send. It means so much. And this year has been a journey, but it's been a journey of hope, not hopelessness, because it's made me depend on Jesus even more than I ever have. And it's been a year of brokenness and surrender to Him again. And for Him, and for that, I do give Him praise for that. I believe my walk with Jesus is closer now than it's ever been because I'm so dependent on Him. And so we all have journeys in our life, and every one of us have a journey. Every one of us are going through something today. And if you're a child of God, He is with you on that journey. He is carrying you and walking with you every step of your journey. There's not been one day this past year that I have felt alone or forsaken, because God tells us in His word, He'll never leave me and He'll never forsake me. And I hold on to that so hard. But today, if you're here and you're not a child of God, you've never been a time in your life where you've prayed to Him and received Him as your Savior, you don't have that hope that when you walk through your valleys and your journeys, that He will be with you. But today could be your day that you call out to Him because you don't want to walk your journey alone. I can just tell you that. You don't want to do those kind of things alone. I just want to leave you with this because I know our time is short. I could tell you, it's been a year. My son asked me to do this whole year thing in 4 minutes, and so I'm going to try. But anyway, let me just leave you with one of these things that the Lord's been doing with my heart about. We all have these journeys that we walk through. But I know through this whole journey that God is good and that He loves me. And I can trust Him because He does all things well. And for you, my dear family, let me just say God loves you. And He is good. And you can trust Him because He does all things well.
Thank you, Mama. I'm so proud of you. Wow. It's good to give thanks to the Lord. It's good to remember and to reflect on His goodness and His faithfulness. And in just a minute, we are going to do that when we do communion together. It's a time to remember and reflect on all that Christ has done. Before we do that, we actually have a video of the Johnsons as well. In the first service, though, we had, if there's anybody else who has a testimony on their heart, we even had a few of our children come up and mention something that they were thankful for. Most of our kids were in the first service, but if there's anybody else that that wants to say something that they're thankful for, feel free. You can come up. If you have the courage, and if not, that's okay. So, we also have a video from our missionaries in Indonesia, the Johnsons, and they have a word of thankfulness as well. So let's watch that.
Yet. We were sent out from Hope Valley Church about a year and a half ago. And we minister here in Bali, Indonesia. And the pastors asked us if we would share some things that we're thankful for over the course of this past year. So, Jessica, you want to start us?
Sure. Hey, guys. First and foremost, we are so incredibly grateful for you. When we got to celebrate Thanksgiving this week, the greatest part of our day was being able to open some packages that Jared had brought to us. And when we opened them, they were all handmade ornaments, Christmas ornaments from you guys. Some were made by kiddos and some were made by just friends. But they were all a surprise and they were all so sweet. And so we put our tree together. We all agreed that this is like our favorite Christmas tree. And our Christmas tree will have these ornaments for the rest of our lives. But it is just such a precious reminder to us that we are not alone here. You all are so invested in the ministry here. You're faithful to send cards and messages and send Christmas ornaments. Right. And we feel so loved. And we are just very grateful for your love, for your prayers, and for your investment in the ministry here in Indonesia.
Amen. Isaiah, what are you thankful for?
Well, as some of you know, recently, or about 8 months ago, I became a Christian, and one thing that God's just been showing me lately is just his abundant mercy and his grace, it's been like a constant theme lately, and through some devotionals with some close friends, that theme has just been like amplified, like just his infinite, unchanging grace.
Amen.
So that's what I'm thankful for.
Amen. And as for me, I think the thing that I am thankful for is those things that never change. In a world that's continually changing, Isaiah and I were having a conversation this afternoon that reminded me of this fact that that our hope is in a God who never changes. His love is always towards us. His intentions towards us are always to do us good. He works all things out for the good of those who love the Lord. The tomb is still empty. The cross has accomplished its purpose. And Jesus Christ eternally sits enthroned at the right hand of the Father. And for these things that never change, I am thankful. And the Johnsons are thankful. And happy Thanksgiving. From Bali, Indonesia.
We love you guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Bye. Well, we are so thankful for the Johnson family and for what God is doing, how he's using them day by day there. I don't know if you've noticed, but today we didn't piece together the themes of the testimonies today. This is what the testimonies were. And there's a familiar theme, though, or a thread that goes through these, and that is that God is faithful and constant, unchanging, even though when things in life are shaky and difficult, the Lord is true. The Lord is faithful. He does not change. And so when we're kind of in the shaky waters, we have an anchor. And I'm thankful for that. And maybe you're here this morning, and you're shaken. Maybe things in your life are just not going the way that you thought that they should or were going to. You can look to Christ. And so if you hear one thing this morning in this service, it's look to him. It's look to him for your security, your strength, your peace. And ultimately, if you're not saved, look to him for salvation. Look to him to be your Savior. We're going to take communion in just a moment. Communion is a time for us as followers of Jesus to remember and reflect on the death, burial, the resurrection of Jesus. That when Jesus went to the cross, that he did that for us. And we want to invite you, even if you're a guest with us, we want to invite you to partake with us. If you are a follower of Jesus, we invite you to take. If you're not yet a believer, our request would be just to watch. And watch as we do this, because it's a picture. The bread represents the body. The blood, the cup represents the blood of Christ. And so I would just invite you just to stay. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture, and then we're going to sing a song. As Leah sings, we're going to come up and you're going to grab your juice and your bread and go back to your seat and have a time to pray, seek the Lord as we take communion together. So let me read and then we'll sing, and as we sing, we will come and get. 1 Corinthians 11, beginning of verse 23 says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup after the supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." So as we come before this the table together, it's also a warning for us. It's a time of heart searching, a time of repentance, a time of confession. So I would even invite you now, just to, in a moment of prayer, just to say, "Lord, is there anything in me that is not honoring to you, that is not pleasing to you? And would you cleanse me? Would you wash and forgive?" And so as we sing this song in just a moment, I want you to reflect on the words and have this time between just you and the God who made you. So if you'll stand to your feet and you guys make your way forward and you can grab the cup and the bread and then go back to your seat, and then we'll all take it together.